What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, Producer Rona?
I'm fine, Walt. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, every day you play like a real-life video game down here with this train tracks and red light, because you know that it's the double light, and you know that you don't want to get whammied in between in no man's land and be left with your tail end on the railroad track. So you actually have to time that light out. And it depends on how many cars are in front of you. It's like a real-life video game. Depending on how many cars are in front of you, you have to decide whether you're going to try and make it over through both lights or not.
Correct.
And if it takes you too long to get there, you actually sort of want it to turn yellow.
Yes, if it turns yellow, I stop, yes.
Right, but there's a point where you almost know it needs to turn yellow.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to make it through both of them.
Right.
And it's especially true if you've already been stopped bogusly under false pretense and said you ran a red light, like
yes.
I was.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I thought you meant now.
No. So that's still there for 3 years. So I have to be, like, extra cautious with that kind of thing.
Right.
And then the other part of it, though, is, so if you sort of wait for that caution light, then you never know whether you're going to get hit by the train, because that's how it works. You wait for the caution light, then the train comes, and then you're waiting, five more minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Recently the trains haven't been as long. Apparently,
I noticed that too.
There's less illicit stuff going on than there was before. Because like early on, I mean, there was one day I was. The train lasts like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then one day you had two, right?
Two, yeah. It the first one stopped, the thing went up, and I thought, okay, here we go. And then and then the thing came down again. And I'm like, what the blank? And then the train's coming the other way. Yeah, that was the worst of all. Yeah, you're 100% right. We have lots to get to.
Before we get going, I have to say something.
Okay.
We have a fan in Little Rock that sent us a postcard.
A postcard?
I don't know if you can see that. It's old. It looks like a tractor.
How about that?
It might be old-timey, but I'm not
sure. A postcard. We like that.
Yeah, so it says...
I didn't know there were postcards anymore.
I know. There is. This
How about
one.
That?
It says, Walt and Ramona, thanks for all the great entertainment. Your show's always fabulous.
How about that?
It says, P.S. Walt, you owe the swear jar.
For what?
I don't know. I don't think.
Who
I
is it from?
Kind of swear me. It looks like it's a J and an S, maybe, but I can't really.
Well, let
tell.
Us know. Let us know, JS, if you're on the text line.
I can't tell.
JS might not
tell.
Be on the text line if you send in postcards.
But I thought that was really cool.
That
we
is.
Really
That's
appreciate that.
Yeah, very
nice.
Much. Very much. Thank you. Appreciate the kind words. Appreciate
yes,
the kind
we
words.
Do.
Clemson baseball loses another series.
Uh oh.
And Friday we said that they would, because this was not playing Boston College or Coastal. This team has some slug, and that's what worries me. Listen, we're going to talk to Bob Mahoney at 4 o'clock, so we're going to save some of this for then. I heard Ben and Kwok talk about Aiden Canuck for a long time today on my way in, and we've been talking about Aiden Canuck on this show for 2 years. Because it's been a 2-year decline, and from where he was as a freshman. And if your Friday starter is going to have an ERA of 5.5, you're just not going to win many games. And then eventually your Friday starter becomes your Sunday starter, and it's the same old problems. I feel like we have discussed these problems endlessly. You know, like it just it feels like we've been discussing them for 2 years, and yet we're going to wind up rehashing it again today. So I guess that's the nature of the situation. But, you know, as a team, this team is I'm sorry. You know, Quack and I discuss this every day, okay? I just fundamentally disagree. All right, this team is just not talented enough. You can try and cover all the other stuff up. You can talk about, well, if this happened, if that happened. When you have a whole season of that, there's a reason. And the reason is you're just not good enough. You're not good enough in any area. And I do think it's as simple as changing the players. I do. We see it all the time in college athletics. It's as simple as changing the players. These players are not good enough. So that's all it is. You can talk about other things. You can talk about coaching. Again, I believe in this coaching staff. I certainly believe in Eric Bakich. He has 16 years of being a great college baseball coach. That hasn't changed. What's changed is the players haven't been good enough. And, you know, and I don't even really want to hear about one injury or that kind of thing. I mean, Clemson basketball lost arguably the two most talented players. Still made the tournament. It's not one injury. It's not, you know, Purifier's not Babe Ruth. You know, to me, it's that they're simply not good enough. The whole team is just not good enough. Not good enough in any area. That's why you lose. It's not because, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that or if this or if that. Yeah, you know, if. It's not if. When this happens over a whole year and your only series wins are Stanford and Boston College, you simply are not talented enough, period. You know who doesn't make a ton of errors? Talented teams. You know who hits for power? Talented teams. You know who doesn't have a Friday starter with an ERA of 5.5? Talented teams. This team is just, it's been patently obvious all year long. They're just not good enough. That's why you lose. You know, there's stuff about, well, you know, we lost some close games. Everybody loses close games. But you know what good teams do? They have talent. They win games. They win games. And the reality is that this team is just not good enough. And they haven't been good enough. And so it is as simple as replacing those players. That's what it's as simple as. Now, replacing them, finding guys who are talented, might not be easy. That could be a problem. We'll see. But, you know, look, the remedy to this is found in the portal. That's the remedy. Now, whether that happens or not, and to what degree it happens, we'll see. But I believe that it will be fixed. I believe it'll be fixed. And I believe that's how you fix it. Again, we see this all the time. We see teams go from bad to good, good to bad, etc. We see it all the time in college athletics. It's a never-ending process. We see teams that didn't matter suddenly win national championships. We saw Indiana, who didn't matter, win national championship. We saw Texas Tech, who didn't matter, make a college football playoff. Why? How did they do it? Well, talent is how they did it. They changed the talent level. And Clemson needs to change the talent level. I mean, that's obvious. You watch this whole season unfold, the entire season, and this team was never good enough. Did they hit a little better? Have they hit a little better of late? Yes. But they were just never good enough. Lineup-wise, they never matched their opponent. Pitching-wise, they never matched their opponent. Well, that's how you lose every series but two. And how you fix it is easy. You change it. Yeah, you know, again, I'm sorry. This is as simple as can be. It's as simple as can be. It can't be any easier. This is a talent fix. Change the players, fix the talent, and winning returns. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. You had some misses. Baseball-wise, you had some swings and misses in the portal. Guys that just did not work out. And you have just not had the juice. How many home runs did Florida State hit in this series? 6, 7, whatever it was. Can Clemson match that? No. There's not been any slug all year long. The pitching hasn't been good. The hitting hasn't been good. The defense hasn't been good. And then, you know, we try and come up with other reasons for why Clemson lost. Clemson lost because they haven't been good enough. And that's a talent issue. And it, that is the, at the absolute heart of the matter. And, you know, are there still some questions? Like, you know, what happened with Aiden Canuck? Yeah. Bob and I have been talking about Aiden Canuck for 2 years. It's been a two-year decline. It's not a one-year thing. It's a two-year decline. He had a great freshman year, and he's been getting worse since. And, you know, and people have suggested, well, you know, he's dipping his pitch, you know, because he strikes out, you know, 1.75 guys per inning or something. And we've talked about the odd lines that Aiden just keeps producing. But we've also talked about, for 2 years, we've talked about his control issues and not getting ahead of hitters. I don't know if it's because he's not confident enough in his fastball in early counts, if he's worried that guys are sitting on that pitch. But, you know, for your changeup to be completely effective, your fastball has to be effective. At least you have to be able to control it. And I think that, you know, Bob and I have talked about how he's got behind hitters, and then he's had to come in with hittable pitches, with groove pitches. And I think that's what the numbers show. Regardless, at some point, the truth is the truth. Like, in other words, if you look at the totality of who Aiden is, at some point, the truth is just the truth. In other words, his freshman year is now the outlier. That's the outlier. You know, and quite honestly, to me, you know, and I mentioned this to Kwok a couple weeks ago, but, you know, I think he's sort of becoming the Mitch Hyatt of Clemson baseball. Meaning his best year was his freshman year. And after that, it got worse. And it has continued to get worse. You know, people have suggested, we've talked about whether it was the addition, the additional pitches. I don't know. You know, I don't remember, and Bob and I have talked about that at length, but I don't remember the genesis of those additional pitches. In other words, at the time that he tried to expand the repertoire, what the reason for it was. Was it strictly with being a better college pitcher or more versatile pitcher, or was that with a mind's eye on a future in Major League Baseball? I don't know. I don't think that's helped, but I think the issue now is also a confidence issue, and I don't know how you fix it. Again, I think if it was fixable, they certainly would have fixed it by now, and that hasn't happened. And look, I don't want to make it seem like what I'm afraid of is I don't just want to pile on him. You know, I don't want to make this just an Aiden Canuck issue, because it's not. It's a full team issue. Nobody on this team has been good enough in any area, and that's talent. So you very much do go right back to the portal, and you fix the talent issue. And you've got to find lots of areas. You need a leadoff hitter. You need a shortstop. You know, you need depth. You need starting pitching. You know, the pitching continues to be an issue. We talked about it last year. We're talking about it again this year. You know, there weren't enough power arms. There weren't enough power arms that matter this year. I mean, this isn't a horse contest. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody can factually throw a baseball 97 miles an hour if he can't pitch. You know, and so you've got to find answers to all those areas, and you've got to find answers to the slug issue. You know, you've got to have some power. You've got to have some pop. And I know that where they thought some of that was going to come from this year, it didn't happen. So I think you go back to the drawing board. I think that you have to hammer the portal, and you have to change the face of this team. I mean, in every way, shape, or form. You did not go through this year losing the amount of games this team lost. Look, separate this too. Separate pre-conference from conference play, okay? Pre-conference, you played a lot of teams that simply weren't as good as you, and you beat some of those teams. You know, but whether Purify played or not, in league play, this team's not good. Okay? Against your peers, you have not been nearly good enough. Period. Not nearly talented enough. That's why you lose. Playing against like opponents. Again, it's not an accident that you've won two series in the league play all year. Stanford and Boston College. That's it. That's it. Florida State, for example, has won seven series. And that's where Clemson should be. But they're not. And the reason they're not is not because Eric Backage forgot how to coach. It's because the individual makeup of this team, some guys just didn't live up to what Clemson had hoped. And so the talent in this team simply was not good enough. And that's why you are where you are. And if you're going to fix it, that's the fix. You simply do go out to the portal and get better players. And then all these imaginary problems and all these invented reasons for why Clemson doesn't win, they'll go away when the players are better. When the Jimmys and Joes are better, they'll go away. Clemson won national championships in football when the Jimmys and Joes are better. That's the reality. It's the reality of all sports. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it always will be. Talent is what matters. Either have it or you don't. And this team simply did not. Quick break.
When I was in high school, my coach liked to say, you don't rise to low expectations. And that's just always stuck with me. So with the help of my lottery-funded life scholarship, I was able to get a degree in secondary education. Now it's my turn.
They could go pro. Why isn't the same for high school pitchers? Rather go pro, go to college, make money. I don't know. Probably because quarterbacks make more than pitchers. I don't know, Corey. But they've got to find some, got to find answers. I mean, that's just obvious. Texas said, Cam Cannarello is missed badly. They do have some good young arms, but that's about it. Well, none of the good young arms. You know, I'm actually sort of tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing about the good young arms. Okay, I heard that last year. I heard that this year. When do the good young arms actually make a difference on the field? Because none of them have to date. Really, I mean, there haven't been any difference makers in that mix. Again, like I said, there's a big difference between being able to throw 97 on the side and being able to pitch. You know, and we'll see. Terry said Cam Cannarello is missed badly. Yeah, because, again, he was the talent. That's why he's missed badly. Okay? The reason Cam Cannarello... You know, you don't have to look for this stuff. It's right in front of your face. And I don't mean you, Texas. I just mean in general. The reason Cam Cannarello is missed is because he was the best talent on the team. That's why he's missed. He was the best player. That's why he's missed. You know, and quite honestly, he was not replaced. Texas said brought in nation home run leader at flop. Shortstop was freshman All-American flopped. Everyone loved those picks at the time. Our lineup on paper was dominant and flop. There's more to it than simply talent. No, there's not. No, I'm sorry, there's not. You can think that all you want, but you're wrong. That's just the way it is. No, look, those guys didn't play well, okay? It's about talent. I mean, if you think that you have like an All-American caliber shortstop right now, you're kidding yourself from a talent standpoint. All right? What you have is you have a plan F at shortstop. That's what you have. It's all about talent. It always has been. I'm sorry. All of sports. If this is new to you, then you must be, this must be your first day following sports because it's always been about the talent. Always, always, always. Always will be. Why did Clemson win national championships? Because they had Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. Why didn't they? Because they had DJ Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik. Why did the Texas Longhorns win a national championship? Because they had Vince Young. Why haven't they won since? Because they haven't had Vince Young. It's not hard. It's always been about talent. It always will be about talent. That's all it is about. Why did the New England Patriots win Super Bowls with Tom Brady? Well, because they had Tom Brady. What happened with the did Tampa Bay win a Super Bowl when Tom Brady went to Tampa? What happened to New England when Tom Brady didn't stay there? It's always been about talent. It's always been about talent. And you know, we'll see how it plays out. Dexter said... But you're giving me, again, you're giving me individual examples in individual games. What I'm saying to you of the pitching, of the young pitching, make it work over the course of a season, okay? I don't care about your one outing, all right? It's irrelevant to me, absolutely irrelevant to me. 940 said, talent and coaching. Somebody else asked me, so would you bring Eric Backage back? Of course. Of course. Edub says, would you want Aiden Canuck back on this team next year? Yes, I would. I would. Because, again, the guy's still striking out 1.75 batters an inning or whatever it is. So there's plenty of good there. You just got to figure it out and help him figure it out. Because there's still something to work with there. I mean, there just is. Otherwise, you wouldn't have those numbers. You wouldn't be producing those numbers. Seminole Ted. Ted, how are you, Ted?
I'm doing great, Walt, man. We had a good series in Clemson.
Yeah.
Taking 2 out of 3. Should have been a sweep, but, you know, that's baseball, man. You can't win them all, right, Walt?
Yep.
And sometimes you just got to make things happen. And they didn't make it happen on the Saturday game. But I tell you what, man, bats were looking good. I was really, really happy to come out of there with a series win, especially after some of the other issues we've had there at Kingsmore. Mainly, I want to talk Braves and Dodgers, though. I tell you what, man, the Braves are looking really good right now. While the Dodgers are not invincible, that much is for sure.
Well, yeah, they'll be invincible by the time they'll be invincible by the time the playoffs start. Ted, you can book on that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be good when the playoffs start, but. We can play with them, and we don't even have all of our key pieces back.
Well, if we keep winning like this, all along I said Dodgers and Braves that was the World Series. That's what I've said all along. So, you know,
you said what?
I predicted Dodgers and Braves would be the World Series. That was my preseason prediction.
Now, I obviously they won't play in the World Series, but
no, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. Again, I clearly explained this. It's just like the NFC. The two best teams were Seattle and the Rams, and the Super Bowl was a fraud.
Well, I sure hope it works out that way. Well, I'm like I said, I'm excited.
I still think the Dodgers will win. I think the Dodgers are just better. I think when we get to that point, I just think they're invincible. And so we will see. But I think the Braves.
Well, I'm going to hope you're wrong on that.
I think the Braves are the team with
Eric
the chance.
Backage, real quick on Eric Backage, I think it's way too early to even talk about pulling the plug on Backage. That's a great coach right there. Yeah, just sometimes, especially in this portal era of college sports, you're going to miss on a couple players. And in baseball, you don't have as much room to miss as you do in some of the other sports. So talking about pulling the plug on Backage is laughable, in my opinion. But that's all I got. I'll take it off the air. Have a good one.
All right, Ted. Thank you. I appreciate it. Tex said, I agree. It's a talent problem, but it's hard to believe the fundamentals are as bad as they've been with Backage and Leggett in the dugout, drop balls, missed routine plays, pitch clock violations, getting thrown at first and second twice a game seems like a discipline problem. I think when you're not talented enough, you do desperate things, and when you're not talented enough, you have a lot of those type of problems occur. So I think Texter 650, you must be the most coolest person who writes me. We have lots to get to. You want in 654-7627. Texter says, Nas Reed caught all bone from the giraffe. That had to hurt. Yeah, we haven't got to any NBA yet. We'll get to it eventually. We have another major happening in the world of college football that we need to get to. But yeah, in terms of the Wembanyama elbow, he's not going to receive any additional suspension. I'm sort of shocked. I thought for sure he would be out game five. I think the NBA is just self-serving at this point. I mean, they don't want a star player ejected from the playoffs, because when Ron Artest threw an elbow like that, he was suspended for, I think, 7 games. Victor Wembanyama was thrown out of that game. For him not to be suspended the next game, I think it's just the NBA looking after their stars and looking after themselves, because I don't know how you don't suspend him for the next game, quite honestly. I really thought for sure, just based on the Artest precedent, that he would be suspended for another game. And that was a violent, vicious, 100% intentional elbow. It was 100% right that the string bean, the giraffe, got thrown out. But he should have been also canceled for the next game. And I was shocked to learn. I didn't learn that until I came in here. So, yeah, not a good situation. We have to take care of some business, and we have some other sort of major, semi-major, I don't know how you classify it at this point, news that we need to get to, and we'll get to it. Let me tell you about Nick Lavery, 1011 Tiger Boulevard, Suite 500, behind Mellow Mushroom in Clemson. Do you need someone who knows the law and will be on your side? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get what you deserve. Again, Nick's been serving our Clemson upstate community for more than 25 years. DUI, being charged with DUI is a devastating event, can disrupt your entire life. If you've been charged, it's vital to get the advice of a South Carolina DUI lawyer to protect your rights and future. Being charged doesn't mean you're guilty. It means you're going to have to go to court and face the charges. You're going to need Nick Lavery on your side. Boat, car, motorcycle accident, you've been injured in any sort of accident, it's time to call Nick Lavery to evaluate your case. The consultation call are completely free. You've been through enough. It's time to take action. Call Nick Lavery. Wrongful death. If your family's faced with that decision to file a wrongful death lawsuit, it's important to know exactly what you need, how to get what you deserve. Look, if your loved one dies due to negligence of someone else, it's time for justice. And finally, parenting is hard. And we know this. It doesn't mean you have a bad kid. Kids get in trouble. We all did. It means you need to call Nick Lavery. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future, whether it's DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, fake ID. Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680, 864-654-3680, or visit nicklaverylaw.com, nicklaverylaw.com. The College Football Sports Commission is part of this government. Now, or vice versa, has come out with what they've really done is they floated a trial balloon to see what their ideas, what their spitballing ideas, whether they have teeth or not, with how the public reacts to it. And quite honestly, while this is being celebrated in some circles, it won't be celebrated here. I think that the College Football Commission is just trying to justify their existence, because I think that basically they have come up with a laughable list of suggestions that would allegedly make college athletics, college football in particular, better. I don't think their list accomplishes that in any way. I think the vast majority of their list is just trying to justify their own existence. We're going to examine all of that and more on today's show. There's going to be a lot to get to in that regard. You can get in if you want on that topic, but let me tell you about Lake Kiwi Auto and the spring clearance sale. Hurry in for the best selection. Get there now before the vehicle you want gets sold. With discounts this big, these vehicles are going to fly. Big news. Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Spring clearance sale is on. This is your chance to get the biggest discounts of the year. I'm talking saving up to $15,000 off the sticker price on new trucks. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on new trucks at Lake Kiwi, and saving $15,000 on a new truck is huge. You want a new F-150 or a new Ram? Lake Kiwi's got a bunch of them to choose from. Not sure what you want? Lake Kiwi, you can test drive them both, do a side-by-side comparison, see which truck you like best. Lake Kiwi also has a ton of low-mileage, one-owner, pre-owned trucks in stock, and you can test drive those too. Fact is, Lake Kiwi has over 600 vehicles on the lot and ready for delivery. It's the biggest selection in the upstate. They're all clearance priced for the spring clearance sale. And get this, buy now and get zero payment for 90 days, plus 0% financing is available. So hurry to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson. Shop online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. Quick break.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to
Dan Furman, okay? And quite honestly, I don't agree with Dan and his position on this, and I'm not going to. The White House released the most ambitious federal intervention into college sports in history. These are Dan's words. Includes coaching salary caps, pooled media rights, a new governing body, a group of six playoff, a new college sports reform task force, replaces the NCAA with a real authority. That's laughable. Antitrust exemption for the task force, the legal protection everyone's been asking for, salary caps for coaches and administrators, crackdown on cap circumvention, targeting collective redirects through media rights and apparel deals, pooled media rights across conferences, a group of six playoff, rewritten eligibility and transfer rules. The portal gets its first real federal framework. Says this isn't a suggestion, this is a blueprint. Well, first of all, I disagree with that. It is just a suggestion, and it is very much a trial balloon. That's what they're doing. So I don't agree with Dan just fundamentally. It's a trial balloon. They're floating it to see what type of reaction they get. As far as I'm concerned, I don't like any of this. Again, we have another committee. We're going to have this in theory. Let me just tell you the basis of how this would work. The NCAA's authority would essentially be replaced for 2 years where the government steps in to essentially run college athletics. At that point, they would relinquish control, presumably to some other entity. But the reality is that we already have an NCAA. We already have. See, this is the thing. You know what? Nobody likes the police until you need them or until you disband them and then you find out that you have to have them. Well, this is the same thing. It's a big mystery, right, that people don't like the NCAA and their decisions. Of course, because we don't like authority. Now, have they been perfect in executing their authority? No. Have they been weak-kneed? Yes. Spineless? Perhaps. But what makes anyone think the government, which is the most inefficient operation on the face of the planet, is going to be more efficient at running this? Again, the government, this government, known for its efficiency, they're going to run it? See, I have a problem with that, but I have a problem with all of this except for one. The only one I don't have a problem with is the antitrust exemption. Other than that, this whole list is problematic for an assortment of reasons. We talked about Mahoney at 4. We'll get back to this at some point. But let's take some of these things one by one, and then I'll tell you why. The only one that matters is the antitrust exemption. That's the only one that matters. None of these things are necessary or needed. Okay, first of all, the group of six playoff. We'll just go through them randomly, all right? The group of six playoff, no. I'm sorry. So you're going to expand to 24 teams in the college football playoff, but we're not going to have any group of six teams in it? How do you plan on filling the field of 24 without any group of six teams? How will those two things work together exactly? The answer is they won't. You just hadn't thought it out. And furthermore, this is, again, trying to separate the haves from the have-nots. The group of six wants to be included. They have fought for their rights to be included. They don't want their little own side party. Okay? That's not what they want. They don't want to be the NIT to the NCAA in basketball. That is not what they want to be. They want to be included in the party. And this notion that they can't compete is based on just way too small a sample size. We are watching the top of college football be reworked, the depth at the top of college football be reworked. We just watched Indiana win a national championship. The same people who will tell me that the G6 can't compete in a college football playoff would have 100% told me 2 years ago Indiana can't win a national championship. It's laughable. They would have laughed at that. It would have been the height of absurdity. So why is it? Look, again, the top of college football, the powers, have been damaged by what we've seen. The wealth has spread out around college football. The top has never been closer to the bottom. So don't tell me the right G6 team can't compete with these teams because they 100% can. We saw Boise State do it 2 years ago. They lost to a really good Penn State team, but it was a competitive game. Don't tell me that type of team can't exist with the right quarterback, because they can. There's no question they can. I mean, if a Kellen Moore-led Boise State team were to come around now, you think that team couldn't compete? They went to Atlanta and beat the living crap out of an elite, allegedly elite Georgia team. That's the reality. These leagues don't want to be set at the children's table at Thanksgiving. They want to compete. The G6 wants a chance to compete. They don't want to be excluded from the money pool. They want a chance to compete. So again, I think that's dumb. I think that's absolutely dumb. And again, as a competitive person, you do not want to be relegated to the child's table at Thanksgiving. You want a chance to compete. In a world that's becoming ever more balanced, in a college football world that's becoming ever more balanced, you want a chance. And that's what they're asking for. So I don't like that at all. I don't like any element of that, a G6 playoff. They act like that's doing them a favor. Who's going to care about the G6 playoff? I'll watch it, but who's going to care about it? Nobody. Nobody. But let one of those G6 teams into the college football playoff and let them win a game or two, and then we'll see. I don't like that at all. All right? So that's just one element of this like master plan I don't like. What about coaching salary caps? Coaching salary caps is a part of this master plan. I think when most people hear that, your first thought is what? It's, okay. Well, that sounds like a pretty decent idea. You know, we can cap coaches' salaries. Now, what will they cap them at? I mean, how far back can you go? All right, based on the guys who are already over like the 10 million line, how many of those guys are going to walk back to 10 million? Are you going to go back further than that? Are you going to go to 8 million? What will the cap be? What will the cap on coaching salaries be? Where are you going to set that? I mean, it's fine to talk about that, but where are you going to set it? What happens if you set it too low? I mean, and what is too low? Is $10 million too low? Will it be higher than that? I doubt it. I doubt it's higher than that. That seems like a threshold number. So if you set that number at $10 million, how many of the biggest names in college football continue to coach college football as opposed to going to the NFL, where there's no cap and they don't have to recruit and don't have to deal with any of this stuff? How many? Are you going to lose guys to the NFL at that point? I think there's a legitimate chance you could if they start trying to impose a coaching salary cap. Furthermore, if you try and walk any of this back, don't we have ways of circumventing all this? Aren't there ways of paying coaches, players on the side? If we start walking back what players and coaches can make, will we not just go back to old times where, you know, the old Southwest Conference existed and people were paying athletes and coaches and everything anyway? So I don't think it's particularly effective. I don't think it's effective. Pooled media rights. These are all the elements of this little plan. We're just hitting them one by one. You can get in on any of this. Pooled media rights. I'm sorry. Okay. So just to be clear, you think that the Big Ten is going to be willing to share their money with the ACC? I mean, that's a nice plan. How do you plan on forcing that? You think you'll win that in court? You're going to force the Big Ten or the SEC to give up some of their money to what, allegedly balance college football? Whether that's a good plan or not, how do you plan on enforcing that? Now, unless you plan on a future with a Super League, and maybe so, but don't they already have that? Doesn't the Big Ten, the SEC, already have Super Leagues? Aren't they already set? Do they, I mean, and if they want any more than that, they'll make their own private equity deals. The notion that the Big Ten and the SEC have been trying to separate themselves from the rest of college football for as long as I can remember now. You think that they're going to be willing to share their wealth with the other leagues? Again, that might be a nice plan, but how do you plan on enacting that? It's just not going to happen. It's just, again, to me, this is like spitballing gone awry. Like the vast majority of the things on this list, they may sound good to people at first until you actually start to sort of examine them. And then you realize, well, these things really aren't very good at all. And if they are good, they're not enforceable. I mean, what's your plan? How do you plan on executing this stuff? Pooled media rights? Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck telling the Big Ten they've got to share their money with the Big 12. They're going to sue you, okay? Whether that's the old you or whether it's the new you. They're just not going to do that. They already have their deal. They already do. Now, there's a lot more to get to because I think this at the end of this process, this all comes down to one simple thing, one simple fix that would make college football drastically better and would clear up a lot of these issues, these alleged issues. We'll get to that. Let me tell you about my friends, Ashley Platt Moore, AMPM Farms. Look, locally raised, ethically handled, humanely harvest, know your farmer, know your food. AMPM Farms is the upstate's largest family-owned farm-to-table operation with multiple retail locations and a marketplace supporting local partners. AMPM Farms, the absolute best. Again, Ashley and Platt Moore, hence the A, the P, and the M. 505-acre working farm in Fountain Inn between Fountain Inn and Woodruff. true farm-to-table market with complete traceability. Started in 2020 with just 24 head of cattle, grown to over 700 head in just 5 years. This incredible expansion demonstrates their success and their ability to provide consistent, reliable supply. You know, look, the big differentiators are things like the premium pasture-raised beef, 100% grass-fed, never confined, no vaccines, no hormones, no antibiotics. That separates them from 95% of the beef in this country. And I'm just going to tell you from personal experience, I have had it all. I've had virtually every cut of beef they have to offer. There is nothing like it. Once you go to AMPM Farms, you will and buy their beef, you will never go back to wherever it is you're going right now. They own their cattle, complete control from pasture to your plate. Curated selection from 20-plus local farms and artisan partners, including Clemson Blue Cheese, Blue Moon Specialty Foods, Happy Cow Creamery, Naked Pasta, Poppin' Popcorn, more than a butcher shop. It's a local marketplace. Again, two locations to serve you, Fountain Inn, Weston Street, and Travers West, South Main Street. They're open 7 days a week. Again, also, keep in mind, they have weekly burger flights. That's ongoing. Try something new this week. Weekly burger flights featuring different cuts and blends of beef. You get it in bulk. It's absolutely awesome. Open 7 days a week at both locations. Visit ampmfarmsbutchery.com to learn more. Trust me, you'll 100% thank me later. There's just nothing like it. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to Bob Mahoney about Clemson baseball, not just this year, but what has to happen moving forward to get Clemson baseball back to where it is. You know, it could be worse, Mona. It could be South Carolina, where they lost 30 games this year. Clemson and South Carolina baseball, two of the most storied programs in history. Neither one will be in postseason baseball this season. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.